Sunday afternoon, Dalet Sivan, Gimel Sivan, Chavis Haldavas Shir, starting in 1 minute. Okay. Chavis Haldavas Shar Habachina. We're in Perek Hamishi. He finished talking about things like the seichel, the mind, writing, and he talked about the hand a little, the dexterity of the hand. Ukvarbir Galinus, that's a Greek physician, Galen, I think is called. Bechamas Forum, in a number of his books, Toelas Eivorim Bar Heidev. He, in great detail, he talks about the Toelas of Eivorim. Chavis Haldavas writes in his Hakadoma, there's nothing to be ashamed of to learn from Goyim. If Goyim say something that's useful, Chochma, and you can learn from them, there's nothing wrong. They're not automatically possible because they're Goyim. If it's Chochma, it's Chochma, and nothing wrong. And he writes in his Hakadoma, he'll be quoting sometimes and bringing down things from Goyim. So he wrote apparently a biology book where he wrote the benefits of the organs and how they're set up, and he wrote a Shar HaBechina type book in biology. So he says, you know, go read it. I can't stress enough, we're here every week, the Chavis Haldavas holds it's a chova, it's an obligation, it's not a midas chasidus, it's not a nice idea, it's not a Tanamidus Hasidus, that's the best way of putting it. It's an obligation, and if you don't do it, and therefore incur a sense of gratitude, walk around with a sense of wonder and gratitude to Hashem, not just biology. Biology is just one of the seven disciplines that he listed in his Hakdama. We're remiss, and we're not fulfilling this obligation. And the fact that we know it anyway, and what's the chiddush, and why do we have to know it? And I thank Hashem every day. I say, "L'chol ha'chayim idu chasela." If you have a luish, imchol b'yemes, okel yishua seinu v'zroseinu sela. Adarabba, if we don't study these things, then it's just words, just empty words. And we can say, "Modem anachnu loch," and we can say, "I'm benching no de l'chol Hashem alokeinu." And we don't really feel gratitude. We don't feel. He says, "No de l'cha Hashem Elokeinu al shemchalta la'avol seinu eretz chemda tover chava v'al shol tisano Hashem Elokeinu me'eretz Mitzrayim uv'tisano beis avadim." You have to feel it. You can't just say it. Anyway, v'lo ayinu mechavnim. And the Chavis Haldavas says, as long as this is taking and as boring as it is, if I would write all that there is to say about one aver, bilo ayinu mechavnim levora zeh, the aver echad levado, just one limb, ayinu yotzim b'dvorim igvul matarasenu, different girsa here, a different text, but it means you would need 4, 5, 6, 7 shelves on the bookcase to take. I would not be writing the Sefer Chavis Haldavas anymore, I'd be writing a biology book. And again, I can't stress enough, this is 1,000 years ago. If you'd be writing it today, right, you just have to go to Google and Google any limb you want. He's talking about limbs, but then there's all the seven disciplines. Google anything, because now we can get into the down to the DNA, right, down to a person's DNA, and you see how it looks and how different things are affected by the DNA and how complex it is and how beautiful it is. So now even more than what he says, v'meshe evenu dai, but the examples I gave you is enough lahair to wake up misha yorehu habore derech hatzoloso be'ezus Hashem. This is a very interesting phrase. He says, what I wrote is enough to stir you, to stir the mind of anyone that Hashem wants to rescue him. That's what he writes. Lahoyer misha yoreu abore derech hatzoloso be'ezus Hashem. It'll stir the mind of someone who has the siyata d'shmaya to get it and to understand what he has to do and to spend even just a few minutes a day on the flow sabore and how things work and how things click and how complex they are and how beautiful they are and so many things that we just take for granted, etc., etc. But he puts it that what I wrote is enough to awaken, to stir the mind of someone who Hashem grants this insight to, that he will be rescued. Derech Hatzalasa, he'll be rescued. Because according to the Chayyus Halvavus, this is second to Shar HaYichud. It can't be stressed enough. In the world of the Chayyus Halvavus, this is a primary obligation of a person in this world to acknowledge Hashem. What do you think the Malachim do a whole day? What do they do a whole day? So many Malachim, thousands and thousands and thousands, millions really, if you look, millions of Malachim, what do they do a whole day? They praise Hashem. They thank Hashem. That's what they do. Right? Chulam poskim es bihem b'kedusha v'tahara b'shiro v'zimro u'mevarachim u'meshabachim u'mefoharim u'ma'aretzim u'matishim u'mamlichim eshem ha'kel ha'melech ha'gadol ha'gibor v'anaro kadoshu chulam makablam alayim o'malchu shemayim zemizneh lahatish liyotzram b'nachasruach tzavah v'lodom nimah. That's what we say in the morning. And okay, so you're saved from a humdrum existence where, okay, maybe we'll stay out of Gehenna if we don't do too many Averis, but it's like missing the point of life, which is to acknowledge, and the Ramban again is like a few centuries after the Chavis HaLavis, but if you think the Chavis HaLavis is a Musar Sefer, so the Ramban in Chumash says that the whole purpose of the creation of the world is to people to have emunah and to acknowledge and to praise and daven to Hashem. So, and the Chavis HaLavis here calls it a Hatzalah. It's saving you from just, you know, going through the rituals and being from, this is even already if you're from, but he wants to save us. If Hashem is kind and you made your way to the Chavis HaLavis Shir Barav and Milinowitz, so you thank Hashem for that also. That's what he says. And now, I don't want to say finally, because as he said, he has, not only he didn't exhaust the subject, but he barely touched upon the subject. He writes, that's what he just said. If I would want to go into it, then I would like ruin my whole purpose of writing the Sefer, because it would become a biology book. And then you just put it on the shelf. And now he's moving away from biology, and he's getting into other inyanim, and his first stop, but he said he's going to spend the bulk of the time on biology. Like, we finished the bulk of the chapter, because he said, a person, this is what you see every day. You just look at yourself, and you experience it, and it's easiest to do this with yourself and your body. Achavachina b'shor minei hachayim, other animals, other living creatures, v'han hogoslam, how they act, how they live, u'michyosam, how they have food, einena nelemes, is not concealed, go study it. Again, even in his days, where you didn't have a Google and you didn't have a computer, he said, there's books, and you can read about the unbelievable, amazing diversity in animals and how different ones are fed and what their food source is, and it's so interesting, and everybody gets food, but some eat this and some eat that and some eat each other, and everybody has food. Einon Alenis is not hidden, Mimishim Estakel Bohem, Umizbonein Simone HaChochmo Bohem, and sees Hashem's wisdom in them. And this is not just, you know, animals, then you think of the animals we eat, and their meat tastes good, or the wool of a sheep, right? It's an interesting machine. We went through biology, that we're an interesting machine too. We put in food, and it's a whole chemistry plant, an amazing chemistry plant, the human body, and it sends vitamin A to where it has to go. It breaks up the food into proteins and minerals and vitamins and fats and carbohydrates. There's a whole factory going on. So with animals, the factory is also producing not just food, not just the meat of the animal, but it eats grass. I don't know if people can make a machine where you put in grass and it comes out wool. It eats grass and it produces wool. It's all coming from food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made food, like, it's the most amazing. That's why life is about getting food. And if you think about the earth is designed to produce food. With the soil and the rain cycle and photosynthesis, and it's like a big food producing machine. And each eater is a machine, a chemistry machine that changes the food into what it has to be in order for the world to function. It produces wool. Valken shonim osam hasforim. This is why Tanakh constantly refers to animals. The zochram plius habore is ale. When the psukim talk about niflos habore, they talk about animals. K'mashomar le'iyov, miyochen la'orev tzedo, who provides food for the raven, ki yolodov elkel yishaveyu. The Gemara says there's a ba'amar nosin v'him alachma, levnei orev asher yikro'u. The Gemara says that there's a type of raven that doesn't really provide sustenance for its children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin their sustenance. How? You gotta have a... Because the animal expels waste, food waste, the bird expels food waste, its feces, and worms come out of it. It sits there and it gets wormy. It's not for the faint of heart. And the birds eat the worms. Its children eat the worms. So Hashem is providing, this is what the Gemara says, Hashem is providing food. There are countless examples, I think, in the Torah tidbits every once in a while. There's like a little box that describes how different animals get their food, the food source of different animals, and there's such a variety and such chachma. So that's what he's saying here. If you study that, you can make a study of how each animal, each species of animal, how they get their food. Taharbe ko'ele, and everybody gets the food that it likes and that it's going to eat. I mean, everything is suited to that particular animal. Okay, that's it for animals. You can buy books about animals and read about it. Now he moves on to astronomy. And now he's talking, now it really, really makes a difference. You know, when it comes to biology and animals, you say he's talking and it's like, now that we know what we know, so it's like, you know, high school biology, we'll call it, or maybe even elementary school. But astronomy is already, we could say, you know, it's wrong what he writes, but it doesn't matter. He wrote according to the chokhmah of his day, and he knew it, and he obviously was knowledgeable in science, and he says, boy, this is amazing, look at this. Now, if he knew what we know today, it's 100 times more amazing, and 100 times more complex, and if he was spoiled from what he knew, then Kolshkein, we have to study astronomy and be amazed with the way the planets gravitate and the way you can aim something and it's going to get to Mars in 3 years and you know it's going to be there. Boom. Mars is not there now. We are aiming, but everything's very mathematical. Everything has gravitational pull and everything is moving around. Different Galgalim are moving around, the sun and the moon and the stars and the mazolos. Anyway, but he looked at it a certain way. Maybe we won't even notice it. It depends if you're knowledgeable. I'm not knowledgeable, so I read this and I don't see what's so terrible. But as far as I'm right, this is not the way it is. I mean, look what he writes. V'chein k'shuma ayin b'mrutzus ha'galgalim, the movement of the heavenly spheres, ha'chalukim b'tznuos mishtanos, and the go in different directions, that's okay, and they go at different speeds and they just move around differently. V'hama'orim, that's the luminaries, the sun, the moon, the stars. Hachalukim l'sader inyan hakol, that they control everything. We know they control the tides. We know they control the sun, as the whole world's energy comes from the sun, and the moon is the tides. B'hem yira misimani hayecholus v'hachokhbar, there's no question you will see there Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's power. Mashalot techileo machsheves adam, beyond what a person can even grasp. You wouldn't even grasp the enormity of what's going on. And again, kolshekein, certainly nowadays. Ve'yilel esapram beloshon, you wouldn't even be able to sit, you would get tired from describing the wonders that the heavens produce, the wonders that the heavens, how they work. The heavens speak of, it declares the glory of Hashem, because what does it mean? They talk, they depict, they're living illustrations of Koach Hashem. Ushar HaMizmar, and the rest of the Mizmar there that describes the sun. The Omar, and another pasuk in Tilim, Kiresh Amecha, when I see your heavens, Maaseh Etzba Osecha, your handiwork, your Reach V'Chochavim Asher Konanta. So the next pasuk says, Mo'anosh Ki Tizkerenu, Uben Adam Ki Sifkedenu. We are humbled. We are humbled by the enormity and the wonderfulness and the amazing synchronization and just of how the heavens work. If you just delve into any part, you know, nowadays it's much more complex and much more involved, but it's much easier to get to. Because if you have, everybody has computers, I assume, and you just give a couple clicks and you could just blown away. And you could watch videos and just how the heavens work. So the Pasuk in Tilim says that if you examine this, you will feel humbled and you will have Mo'anosh Kisus Karenu, you will have the proper Kaniya to Hashem. That's what you'll, primarily, that's what you'll feel. Umin Amufla, and the, one of the amazing things, Vameshon Ophelos Alodein Ha'odom, Mibrios Habori Yisalah Gadolos, is Hashemayim. The heaven is like an amazing thing, because no matter where you stand, says the Chavis HaLovus, Ki b'chol mokom sh'omid min ha'oretz, yireh chatzi ha'galgal ha'sovi v'sa'oretz. You see like a half of a sphere, a half circle. No matter where you stand, that's the thing that you see. I'm not sure what this phenomenon is, or why it's so amazing, or how we, I don't know if that's, we certainly experience it, but I don't know what it means to us. U'chshemistakel b'ho'odom al derech ha'bechina, using what we've learned, the tools of Shara HaBechina, Yirek Yabori also Bechefzo, whoever created the way the heavenly bodies work and what they control and how they move and how they interact and how they just go around in a path the way they're supposed to go around. They don't deviate. Ain't tachlis liyacholto v'chachmosu v'godlo. An honest person, a sincere honest person, would have to say that this is the handiwork, and that's what David HaMelech says, that this is the handiwork of someone who has infinite power, infinite wisdom, v'godlo, and greatness. Ki kasher anachnu roim, let's face it, if we see the pyramids, something people built, we go, wow, look at that. If we look at the ancients, things that they built, and like, we're very in the spoil from it. Uma, let's say the pyramids, let's say the Great Wall of China, Nitma al Yechotam Lazos Kamohu, where people generally, the attitude is like, wow, I can't believe it, how did they do this? The Orenu, and we say they must have had enormous strength, Al Cheskos Gufam, and they must have been great mathematicians, because with the rudimentary tools at their disposal, look what they built, and look how they schlepped, and look how they figured out how to build it, that it shouldn't fall. For Yikras Nafsham and their intelligence, Lasoso Mitzar Chosak La'atzmom, how they built mighty fortresses. The Chashayigl Beinenu Zeh Amar HaMizar, and if we get amazed by that, which is kid stuff, literally kid stuff. It's just, maybe we're not sure how they did it. They didn't have our tools. It was before the Industrial Revolution, obviously, way back, ancient times. How did they do it? So we get all. So, but did you ever think that way about Hashem? Wow, look what Hashem does, Hashem. That's kid stuff. Hashem does much more of like sacrilegious. Hashem does both in Kamos and in Echos. But we don't study these things, so we don't walk. When we walk outside, we just go our merry way, and we're thinking about, you know, what time the bank closes, because I have to make a deposit. But you should look up to the sky, maybe buy a telescope, and maybe study a little how the heavenly bodies are so perfect. Our sense of wonder should grow. You're too cold or you're too hot? So put up the thermostat. What's the thermostat on? The fan is. Do what you want. Whatever you want is fine with me.
This one?
I don't think it's the fan that's making it cold. Okay. You want to turn off the air conditioner? Turn it off, and we'll turn it back on when it gets hot.
B'chol
asher bohem ebli yagia v'torach v'lo leos v'omo. Hashem makes weather. Right? If you study weather, it's a lifetime of study. Me'ein dovar Hashem created yesh me'ayim v'lo al dovar ele b'rtzono v'chefzo. Now he says, "May ein davar," which l'chayra means it's not held up by anything; it's just suspended in well, you can't say an ear. There's no ear; it's just suspended. It's like just Dvar Hashem. Now we know that there is a channel how Hashem works. We know that there's gravitational pull, and there are different speeds, and that creates. Whatever it creates that holds them in place, but that's also—I mean, who did that? Who did that? The laws of nature—that's Hashem created. But we know the mechanics of how it works. It's not just suspended in midair, but there are different forces that are acting on the planets and on all the heavenly bodies that keep them in a certain path and make them go a certain speed and determine how they're going to move and rotate and gravitate and spin around. So all these things again is chokhma and chokhma, koach and chesed. Those are the three key words to walk away from Shara HaBechina from. The obligation to study these things, and once you do sincerely and ehrlichly and honestly, you will see Hashem. You will say, of course there's a Borei Olam. Not only, of course there's a Borei Olam, but everything he makes is full of wisdom, is full of koach, power. There's nothing impossible. It's amazing the things that happen. And chesed, everything works to produce for people a world in which they have so much good in it, in which they can breathe, in which they can eat, in which they can see color, in which life is interesting. Life is fantastic. Life is beautiful. The ma'oros of life are the things that happen. He's not talking about the things that happen in life, which is also always l'tova, but he's not talking about that now. He's talking about the world that Hashem made. We're a very small part of the world, the globe. Very little thing suspended in midair. Okay. Now he's continuing. He's finished with biology. He's moving very quickly. A few lines he spent on animals, and a few lines on the heavenly bodies. And now he's going to talk about another thing. He says, did you ever stop to consider how amazing it is that we have night and day? And it's dark and it's light. You see, we don't know because we have 24-hour day. Because Hashem saw fit. This is something to talk about. Maybe you want to think about it. Maybe we'll talk about it next time. If you think in the flow of history, we're living now in the last 150 years, maybe a little less. But they used to get dark at night, and you couldn't really do anything by candlelight. I mean, you didn't trip and kill yourself, but it was dark. And umaver yom umevi loyla, and we say by Myri, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher b'dvaro mariv aravim, Hashem makes it dark, Hashem brings the darkness, Hashem brings the night. Umachlifas hazmanim, and the Chavis HaLodos now will say, think about that. That's how we mark the passage of time. How long is it going to take you to build the porch? I don't know. 2 weeks. What's a week? 14 days. What's a day? A day and a night. If there was no night, it would be very hard to mark off days. That's number one. At night we rest. He's going to say that we replenish our energy, which is a nace, that sleeping does that. The earth, if you know the earth replenishes the soil. The earth gets replenished. The photosynthesis process is reversed at night with carbon dioxide and that stuff. It's reversed at night. The earth, if you would be using the earth the whole time, it would become arid. It would become used up. And at night, it rests and it gets replenished. Not just people sleep at night. The earth sleeps and gets back its kochos and the minerals and it rebuilds the things that were taken from it during the day. So that's what he says. Anything you look at, you're going to see Hashem. If you look, you will always be able to fix. You have to look, right? I once threw out a question: why do babies? Why does teething hurt? You have to think why it's good. What good comes out of that? So I challenged some people, and they came up with some answers. I got 2-3 answers out of it. What's the good in teething hurting? I only remember one answer, and that is because it usually comes around the time when the mother's weaning the child, and so the bond is not as intense because you stop to nurse. The bond is not as intense, but when the baby cries and the mother responds, so that's like a substitute, almost, we'll say. And it just reinforces the bond. So there's no like sudden withdrawal symptoms because the mother has to soothe the child. And a person said that. I don't know if it's true or not true. Hashem didn't confirm it to me. But this is what the Chavis Halavis wants you to do. That's what he's saying. He wants you to think about everything in the world as Chazdei Hashem. Everything has a plan and a purpose and a design. And when you study 10 million things that have design, plan, and purpose, so when you come across something that you don't know what it is, you'll, instead of saying, oh, who needs tonsils or who needs the appendix, you'll say, well, there's a master planner here at work and there must be a reason for this. Elishek tzosim gluyim, some of them are obvious. Uktzosim ne'lomim. He says, give them a marshal. Let's take light and darkness. Everybody understands how great light is. It enables you to see. Kipelalos or niglos, the niros. It's sea and it's warm, right? We're not freezing. If the sun was a little further from the earth or at a different angle, Earth wouldn't function very well. We'd be freezing, it wouldn't grow anything. Veneros, and it's out in the open, veneros, enum nelomos. But choshech, like what's the purpose of choshech? It's tolalosod nelomos, it's a little more hidden. But when we thank Hashem for bringing darkness, umar yom may be loilo, right? And we say amar of arovim, mitneshe b'nei odem mishtomim bo, people feel overwhelmed by the darkness. They don't know how to handle it. Again, you have to stop thinking about it. What's the problem? You just turn on the light switch. He's talking about, for some reason, Hashem has seen fit to take away from us this tova. And if you talk to doctors, they'll say, this is terrible. Nobody gets enough sleep. And that's why people are walking around stressed out and tired and irritable and cranky. And children are cranky, and ADHD and ADD and everything, they're not getting enough sleep. Because it's labodic. The phone's ringing, the lights are on, there's no natural, nobody, Hashem Hashem turns off the lights. But now, if you remember from last week, inventions are also from Hashem. So Hashem has seen fit to give us this problem that we're going 24 hours a day. and there's no day, there's no night, the world has shrunk, I gotta stay up because I gotta be awake when the stock market opens in Japan, right? So that's tomorrow, or Australia it's yesterday, and in Japan it's tomorrow. I don't know what it is. So if I want to buy stocks in Japan and in Australia, I gotta be up around the clock. When can I go to sleep? But he says, but he's talking, when Choshech was a big bracha, but if Sokim Ma'aseihem, they stop what they're doing. Right? You don't get into a traffic jam at 2 in the morning, which we all have and do. So what are all these people doing here? Why aren't they home sleeping? My son went to sleep so late last night, because he went to a bar mitzvah. So that's only because there's light. Otherwise, they would have made the bar mitzvah in the daytime. Who made the bar mitzvah 11 o'clock at night? So you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, they're able to make a bar mitzvah on the Yom HaBar Mitzvah at night. So he went to sleep at 12:30 instead of going to sleep at a normal hour. And now he is going to spend the whole day with a headache and not be able to learn. I hope it's not true. And Sunday in his yeshiva is a big day. That's when they learn everything, and then they end up chazering the rest of the week. So what did I gain? Because there's lights. He says, in the Chavis HaLovas his days, Nifsokim HaSeim, you have to stop. Utunuosa Bavoa, when the night comes, you stop and you rest. The Lule Cheshkas HaLaila, we know what he's talking about, because we don't have Cheshkas HaLaila to a great degree. But Lule Cheshkas HaLaila, if it wouldn't get dark, people would be worn down. People wouldn't take care of their bodies. Because they would, what would they do? They would do what they do now. They stay up, they fall asleep by the shtender, like this, they fall asleep for maybe an hour, then they get up, they had a nap, and then they go back to work. That's what he says. It's terrible. How you go, and then we wonder why, if you don't think of these things, we wonder why we're not as strong, as strong, and who knows, Chas V'Shalom, what diseases come about, because the body is. He says the body needs rest. The body has to stop. Has to stop and rest. Rob gufei balechayim kolim. They get destroyed. The hasmodas yugiyosim. If they just keep working, the amolam, the orech tuniyosim, and they just keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. That's one tova, yes.
What about the rebellion that you read about? That like only sleep 45 minutes.
They train themselves, but what they do with their time, they learn Torah.
Right.
So they train themselves. Yeah. But you're talking about average people, regular people. And if you train yourself to need very little sleep and you spend it on the stock market, so what have you done? Like this, your body has gotten used to less sleep, and they use it for the good. They use it for good things. And I don't know how many people can do that. I don't know if a regular person could just train themselves. It's like the story with the farmer, right? He trains his animal to eat less every day, right? The famous story, and then the animal dies. He says, I just had it trained. I had it down to like one bushel of oats a day, and it went ahead and died on me. Stupid animal. And okay, that's first of all. Second of all, again, he's in a world without clocks. In a world without clocks, so they had maybe sundials. So without night, without the shifting of the sun and the sun going down and shadows, so you don't have any sense of time. So we said, what's the problem? I look at my watch and I see what time it is. Again, it's all part of it. We have electric lights and we have halogen lights and we have spotlights and we have watches. So it's not good. It's good. Hashem, our door either needs that or whatever it is. We have to think of a reason why in the flow of history, you know, Hashem opened up tremendous Mayonis HaChochma and he took away this gift from us. And we're worn down. And we are worn down. Look around. Look around. Everybody's worn down. I never met a person that wasn't tired. Everybody's tired. They just blame their kids, that's all. But tired, look, what are you going to do if the supermarket's open 24 hours a day? Right? So that's a big Yetzirah. You go there at 2 in the morning, you have to wait online. By the checkout counter in Muncie, you go, And all the stores, and everybody wants to make a buck. So once the competitor is open 24 hours, you have to be open 24 hours, Nebuch. Yeah.
Is that a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not intend us to live, say, in the Arctic, where there is no night and day?
Very good. You're doing Shah HaBachina. Excellent. Right. That's why we don't live at the poles. But I'm saying now we have electric lights. We did ourselves in. So I don't know. But you're absolutely right. Now he says, this is how you check off time. Remember, no watches. Just that determines units of time. Right? You determine how long something takes. They say, okay, you can have my cow for 5 days. I'll rent it to you. What do you mean for 5 days? So now, wow! You know, we don't even think of it. 5 days means day, night, day, night, day, night, day, night, day, night. That's 5 days. Otherwise, like, how would you mark off the days? You wouldn't know what 5 days means. For Orech Yemei HaChayim B'Katzrusam, very fascinating sentence. He said, you wouldn't know if a person is living long or short. They died. You don't know how to mark off their lives. So you don't know if they lived long, if they lived short. Should you think about it? Should you do tshuva? Should you say maybe there's something? Vilu hayu ha'inyan holech tomer al tzura achas. If everything was continuous, lehoysa mitzvah tluya b'zman. How would zman groma? How would Shabbos work? How would Yom Tov work? Like, you would have to have a whole different system. The chatzomos, fasting, the lohoya bein b'nei yodah moed leis kotzuv. People, you couldn't make an appointment. And be there, you know. So now I'm saying we have watches. We think 4 o'clock tomorrow, so it's when my watch says 4 o'clock. But if you take off your watch and you say, okay, you know, and if there's no night, so that means the sun is not setting. That's all part of having night, is that the sun moves in the sky. So if you don't have that, you can make an appointment, which is not so bad if you have to go to the dentist. But otherwise, it's very important. So you could make appointments. And you wouldn't know, you wouldn't be able to buy a daily paper. You wouldn't know what a daily is. Rabbi Victor Miller brings down other aspects of night, besides what he's mentioning here, resting and time. Now, I'll just read. When nighttime comes, the sun stops its process of working the earth to produce vegetation. All day long, the heat and light of the sun draw out the earth's resources. At nighttime, this process stops. If this didn't happen, the fertile soil of our farms would not have a chance to recover and would soon become arid. The soil would quickly turn into sand and would lose its fertility. During the night, the soil recuperates. The bacteria and fungi in the soil becomes more active at night, and they work to rebuild and restore the materials that were expended during the day. The next morning, just as a person rises fresh and reinvigorated, the soil is also fresh and ready to do what it does. There are many other changes between night and day that we don't fully understand. During the day, plants absorb carbon dioxide from the air through the process of photosynthesis, which operates under the influence of sunlight. At night, this process stops, but plants emit carbon dioxide into the air through a process called transpiration, which is similar to the process of breathing in humans and animals. The interaction of these complex processes maintains the world as we know it. By maintaining the conditions of our atmosphere, these physical and chemical processes support the health of all living creatures, people, animals, and plants. All these things are kept in balance through the change that Hashem made in switching between day and night. Therefore, we should try to grasp some of the Chochmah of Hashem. You have to study these things. Again, Rabbi Victor Miller, that's how I was just mentioning it. He's not, even if we don't grasp the enormity of it, but we should study a little of it. So when we say Baruch Atah Hashem HaMa'ariv HaRovim Kol El Or Mipnei Choshech V'Choshech Mipnei Or, we should feel gratitude. And if you've ever tried to put your kids to sleep at night, you'll know what gratitude is. Okay, V'lo Nigmar Bishul Machol. He says, what do you think by food? Digestion of food. Digestion goes on all the time, but it's most effective when the person is resting and there's no competition with the other limbs that require blood to supply them with energy for their activities. So more blood is available for the digestive system to move and churn the food and extract the necessary substances that the body requires. This process is enabled by the many blood vessels throughout the digestive system. During the day, a person is in constant movement, and blood has to be provided to the other organs to help them carry out their various functions. Less blood is available for digestion. By night, the extra blood flow is available to the digestive system, and digestion is more complete. That's why you wake up in the morning, you're ready to eat again. You stuffed yourself last night by the chasana, but you wake up in the morning, you're ready for breakfast, no problem. Digestion would not be complete, but beten echad, not even in one creature would there be proper digestion if there wouldn't be night. We do need a little night. I guess because during the day you're working, so you do need light. You want to visit the sick. I'm not sure why he picked that out of everything he could have picked. Hemid lo habo, what? Yeah, so you go visit him at night, I guess. The day you're busy, you don't have time to visit. Hemid lo habor b'makoma me'or ha'esh. Then we have the miracle of fire, that we make a bori ma'ori ha'esh. Because we do have light, a little light to do something at night, because we can't function in pitch black. We don't become immobilized. Hashem doesn't want that either. But you could put it out, and it's dark outside. Turn off the light. So I guess this is the secret of our lives too. Just shut the switch. Shut the switch. You can come by my house in Yerushalayim, no problem. 2 a.m, every light's blazing away. Finally, you got to go around and shut the lights. That's what he's saying. Hashem gave you a gift of fire, but you're able to put it out whenever you want to. So just put it out. Come on. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay. I should give homework, but you said someone wrote about sand. What did you say? Someone.
Yeah, someone said pictures of sand under the mattress.
Okay. Okay, good job to everyone. Have a good job there. Okay, right now we're up to here. I'll probably go back to fire. So next Sunday I'll probably start from.
Good, I'll listen to you. Because this is where you were.
I'll probably start from here again, which is fire.
Okay.
With May.
And then
Shara Mitochon, which we're not learning this Wednesday.
Okay.
Because it's Shuas. No, it's in here.
No, it's in the same one.
It's in here.
Yeah.
Shara
Mitochon. Because I have page 350, that's what I have.
Up to here.
There, okay.
Where?
Page 350, the last one.
A lot of paragraphs.
There's a lot of paragraphs that start with the word mayhem, but that one.